Now you see me. Now you don't.
It's magic.
Yeah. The only thing this hat's good for is the trash can.
Hey, welcome back in. Final hour. Turn Sprague, Portland sports leader. 105.1 FM, The Fan. 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. The Magic Hat always delivers, I gotta say that.
That's good shit right there.
We have a listener texting in saying, my old neighbors were huge swingers. They tried to get my wife and I, awkward.
Yeah. So do you say, is it a slow play no, or is it an immediate no?
How do you know right away? Like, do they come out and tell you?
Well, they have to approach.
I don't know.
Or do they invite you over for a barbecue, and then they're making advances on the couch? Like, what are we talking about here?
What I would say is, I know of people who know of people.
Okay.
Who are this? They're openly this. They're not ashamed by it.
No.
They are who they are, and they like what they like. And
you do you,
they,
boo.
You know, they get on the carousel. You
two
know what
consenting
I mean?
Adults can do whatever they want to do.
Riding the horse, riding the ferry, riding the frog. You know, whatever you're into is what you're into, and they go with how they're feeling. And
hog them up, Sikorsky.
It's not really like a big, hey, you want to join? You want to trade?
It's just an awareness of this is what we do.
It's just an awareness of, like, this is our lifestyle and this is who we are.
This is how we roll, baby.
But
this
you do get roll. The occasional Phil Mickelsons out there that go back to the hotel room and quietly sext the wife who's still at the dinner table with
That's
the husband.
True. And things get uncomfortable. Then relationships are ruined.
I can't begin to, I don't know how I'd process it, but I would have to immediately shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a shoot that one out of the air right away. Let's go ahead and put the kibosh on that bad boy. What else we got in the old hat today?
Sorry, just confirming our final dirty pull guest for tomorrow.
Okay.
It will be at 7:30 a.m.
Ooh, look at that. Breaking
that doesn't
news.
Smell like West Coast at all.
That could be anything.
Did you
it
not
could
have
be anything.
Oregon as number one?
They're not in the top 12, dude. Nobody's giving us a chance.
Smell the grass.
All right, how about from that to this? I'll make it up to you.
I love to smell grass.
I love to smell grass.
Which
I love
kind
smelling
of grass?
Multiple kinds
fresh
of grass.
Cut.
Huh. Fresh cut grass. I love the smell of
the
weed.
Carl Spackler.
You do?
I do, yeah. Like if you get a whiff of somebody smoking a joint out at a park or something, you're walking around.
Really?
Adam, man. Oh, hey.
So skunky.
Smells like college. This is the start this week for the majority of people of high school football season. This is it.
Actually, it started last week.
Yeah, there
some
were
teams played last week.
A handful
of games
Nelson
last week.
Played last Dude. Week.
I think there was five games last week, right? We talked about this last Friday. We looked at
Lake
the schedule.
Lakeridge, LO, I think Westland.
Can I quickly tell you the Nelson recap?
Nelson lost to Grant, right?
Grant's pass.
Okay.
So I couldn't go to the game.
It was
my nephew's last season.
49-48.
Overtime game. I missed it, so when I come back, I ask how it went. And my nephew and his family, they go down to Grant's Pass, watch the game.
That's a haul.
Heartbreaker. They were up 21 going into the end of the third quarter.
Okay.
It got cut to 14 is what I was told to start at a midway point with about three minutes left. They were up 14.
That's brutal.
I guess backup started playing.
Oh, you put backups in?
And then
up
Grant's
14?
Pass hit a quick tutty.
Oh.
Got an onside kick. I guess their kicker is
recovered
amazing.
It, was, yeah.
Yeah, recovered the onside
Score
kick.
Score again,
and then get this. So the starting point guard of Nelson's basketball team, he's being recruited. He's got some Scholly offers. He's playing quarterback. He's like one of these really good athletes. He heaves the ball. I saw the video. He heaved it from his own 40 easily into the end zone. So he is now throwing a 60-yard pass, no problem.
Not easy to do.
The receiver for Nelson catches it one-handed at the horn. Should be a walk-off. Flag comes in late. Illegal lineman downfield. I replay the video.
Can you
I'm
see
like,
it? Can you see the lineman?
I'm thinking home cooking, Grant's pass officials.
Now, they give him a little more room in high school. I think you get 3 yards.
You get three. I rewatched the replay. I didn't see the flag before he threw the ball, so that's a questionable call just in the nature of things.
And where are the
They
rest?
Were like 9 yards down the field.
Okay.
Because so they thought the quarterback might be scrambling. They never turn around. They never retreat.
It's just natural because the other team's probably not rushing very much, I'd imagine, in a Hail Mary situation. So there's nothing really to do. You're just kind of standing there. Naturally, you're going to drift downfield.
Yeah, and so it's a no-countsies. They go to overtime, and I think they had their field goal blocked, and then Grant's pass ended up winning. And
that's brutal, dude.
Devastating loss for Nelson.
Tough one out of the gate for Nelson. I did see Grant, by the way, getting lights. That's a big deal in the Portland area, first time.
Well, they've had him for a while.
They haven't been able to turn him on and play night
games.
Finally
let him turn him on and have a game.
Is that because of the neighborhood?
The neighborhood's fought against it for years. They don't want noise and cars late at night. It's like, whatever.
You chose to live by a high school.
Yeah, what do you think's going to happen? No school events are going to go on? That's really cool locally. I played on that field way back in the day, but it was always like JV afternoon games at like 4 o'clock on a Thursday.
Right.
Because they didn't have lights. And so, really cool for that. There is no better football guy on the planet than the man Dan Campbell himself.
Okay.
He personifies football. Football guy Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
And high school football, it's a near and dear thing to my heart. The season's beginning. A lot of seniors playing their last time. Dan Campbell was asked earlier this week, hey, man, you got any message to the high school players out there? And I thought his answer was perfect.
There's no nonsense. There's nothing that goes along with it. And it's just good old, man, it's the grass, right? Man, you can smell the freshly cut grass. It's Thursday night. It's Friday night. It's Saturday. It's you and this, probably a lot of kids you grew up with. You know, you guys grew up together, and I know this. We've got a couple of coaches that have seniors. You know, they have seniors that are opening up tonight. And, man, you never forget your senior year for sure. You don't forget all of them, but, man, wherever you're at, make the most of it because you're not guaranteed to be able to get another chance to play and be with those guys that you grew up with and enjoy the game at that level and the wins and the sacrifice and the hard work and the blood and the sweat and the tears. It's a special time. Enjoy it. And you really, if you're a young guy, man, I'm a freshman, I'm a sophomore, I mean, you owe it to the seniors because this may be the last time that you get one more shot. They don't. So give them everything you got and make it a special year for them because next year is your year and you're going to want those young guys to help you. So, man, enjoy it. It doesn't last and you'll remember it the rest of your life.
You're damn right you will, Dan. You're
can
damn
he,
right.
Can he just narrate any moment of my life of like, Dan, I'm going in this event. I'm going to tell you right now, man.
I just need a motivational speech. I mean, your first workout post Hood to Coast, can you just give me a quick FaceTime call to get me going in Arnie so I can have the energy to get through it? To your point, though, at the start of that clip, we do need to come up with a new saying.
There's so much turf,
it's
dude.
Not smelling the grass anymore, and that's a bummer about football. It should all be on natural grass. High school, I guess, a little bit different. But good luck to everybody starting. Some games are going on tonight, I know. There's a lot of games tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll be at one tomorrow.
Some people played last week. So high school football getting underway. Our guests may or may not be involved high school football in a matter of moments.
What?
Time to tell.
Is
I don't
he leading
know.
One of the best teams in
he
the
may
state?
May or may not be a coach somewhere. I don't know. It could be anybody. But have fun. High school football rocks. And there you go.
Who's under more pressure, our Dirty Pole guest or Oregon football this year? Some are wondering.
Pressure is a privilege.
It is a privilege.
Pressure makes diamonds.
Absolutely. I can't wait to ask our guest if they're on the West Coast. You know, we'll have to wait and see. Can't
with
tell.
A revenge game.
With a revenge game right out of the gate. Maybe. Who knows? It could be anybody.
That was an upset last year. That
it was
shocking for
they
many
were the
people.
Favorite.
They were.
Or whoever they might be was the favorite.
Some are saying the coach is under pressure. Hot seat?
Hot
we got a hot seat coach?
We're coaching a game. What? What else we got?
If Dirt was a teacher.
All right, now we're on a good roll here. This one made me laugh out loud because it took me back to childhood and the nostalgia was great. I grew up in a household with a brother and a dad who found gas humor very funny. And one of the things that drove my mom crazy when we were kids eating dinner is that we would fart like crazy at the dinner table.
Oh, what?
Look, it's a house of three boys. What do you want from us, right? My dad would laugh. So
you counting your dad as the three boys?
Yeah, he would do it too. And so
basically the Nutty Professor going on.
Yes, picture that scene.
Setting a tempo at the dinner table, Dad.
So, I mean, you set the tone early, okay? You announce your presence with authority.
You are dismissed from our table if you ever farted at the table.
Not the case
eating.
At ours. But the rule we eventually came up with, because my mom complained so much, was that you have to leave the room in order to fart during dinner. Now, the hard part with that is it led to almost a theatrical competition because the room is not that, like, you're just walking 5 feet away. Everybody can still audibly hear what you're doing, and it became funny to get up from the table and walk to the other room.
I'm learning so much
where
about
you're
you
still
right
in
here.
Vision right here, and you're just making eye contact laughing at your brother as you let one rip and then come back and sit at the table. Anyways, this is now happening, and there is a teacher in Georgia
Yes.
Who has come up with, he's a 36-year-old, and they have come up with the idea of the gas station.
Which I thought it was the fart corner.
Well, that is what it is, but they're calling it the gas station, and the specific spot where students will go to essentially fart in the corner of the classroom where they have an air freshener.
Oh, I've seen this.
That sprays.
That's right.
And so she told it's a female teacher. She said, quote, I have a very weak stomach, so I cannot take it. So I was like, okay, I'm going to create this little area over here. You get up, you go do your business, you come back, and that's it. And the thing I thought about initially when I saw this story is this is going to make it 10 times worse. Because yes. Kids are going to now think this is funny to go fart in the fart corner at the gas station.
Somebody's going to force one, and it's going to be a bad situation.
It's not going to end up aging well. But I appreciate the effort for trying to control the farting inside your classroom.
I'm not judging, but dinner is just like such a sacred. We're eating food. What are you? You guys really were the Nutty Professor family,
yeah, dude. Every day.
I didn't know that.
One of the I bought Teddy a fart button the other day. Like it's
the president
plays
like
fart sounds.
Our hype horn, except
yeah,
for
exactly,
farts.
But
yeah.
It plays fart sounds, and he was walking around with it on his back, pressing it, laughing the other day. And I just thought, my poor wife. She has no idea.
Are
what
you
going to
turn
for.
Their dinner table into this? Once
without a doubt. Now you say, excuse me, have some manners. Okay, be polite.
Just ruins the whole dinner.
Be polite.
You're ruining the whole dinner.
I don't want to be sitting
I'm gonna
here.
I'm going to sit there with a bowl of spaghetti
you
and I'm
uncomfortable.
Have to whiff that.
I'm eating carbs over here. Oh, what do you think's going on inside my stomach? I can't make it the whole time.
Yikes, man. How do you get the nickname? Is what
come
I'm always
back,
asked. Right there. Right
Toots
there.
Johnson.
Yeah, Toots Johnson. Toots. Swag's the only one hasn't had anything pulled yet.
No, yeah. What else we got in there?
12-year-old, dude.
Oh. This is mine. Did you guys see that the Tigers signed a 12-year-old to a $4 million deal?
A 12-year-old?
12-year-old.
12-year-old.
Detroit
prospect.
Tigers, LSU Tigers.
No, the Detroit. Well,
yeah, well yeah.
Don't put it past Lane.
Is it Baby Gronk? Did he finally get signed?
Yeah, I had the story, but I accidentally closed it.
Kevin
Sosa, 12-year-old Dominican prospect, inked to a $4 million deal by the Detroit Tigers.
How is that legal?
I don't know if it is, so there's a lot of like reporting going on that this is like an agreed upon thing that hasn't actually.
I thought they couldn't sign.
It hasn't been inked yet
till you're 16.
So it's basically a promise deal. It's we're going to sign you to a
when you turn 16.
When you're 16, we're giving
shouldn't
you $4 million.
Illegal.
12-year-olds, dude.
12-year-olds, dude.
Make promises to 12-year-olds.
I mean, what are the chances of this guy? I mean. Anything could happen in the next
like
4 years.
It's like promising an eighth grade quarterback a scholarship.
Yes. You have no idea how it's going to pan out.
You don't even
know
if you're still going to be coaching there at that point.
They reportedly think he's one of the greatest prospects to ever exist.
What's his name?
Kevin Sosa.
I'm going to remember that name.
Any relation to Sammy?
Could be.
Yeah.
An offspring.
12-year-old.
I'm going to remember that name. Let's all file that one away in our mental bank.
Okay.
Kevin Sosa.
Kevin
5 years
Sosa.
From now, he'll be 17. We'll be making his debut in the
bigs. Yeah, is this going to be a Bryce Harper? We see him in the bigs
right.
at like
You're
20
like,
years
dude,
old.
Look at the Tigers. They got this kid when he was 12. He's the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah, but then they're going to fight him in arbitration because he's going to get he's going to want too much money.
Trade him to the Dodgers after 4 years.
Right. 12 years old is crazy to hear a $4 million guarantee.
That's insanity.
Okay. I think this says beak, but I don't know if the ink ran out, and it could be beer. Is it beak heist or beer heist?
Oh, beer heist, yeah.
Beer heist,
beer
okay.
heist. This is a quick, easy, fun one. We have maybe had the largest beer heist in history. Did you see this news last week?
Somebody get a truck?
There were beer heists happened. Thieves stole a truck that was carrying roughly 40,000 pounds of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Of all the ones to steal.
In Montclair, California, a truck carrying an estimated 400 pounds of Pabst PBR was stolen. They believe it might be the biggest beer heist that's ever taken place. It was loaded to the equivalent of more than 50,000 cans of PBR.
Mm-hmm.
They have publicly addressed the situation through social media, basically saying, hey, somebody stole 40,000 pounds of beer. Where is it at? To the thief, we don't fault you for wanting to brag to your friends how much PBR you have. We just wish you obtained it in the honorable way. They have no leads. They don't really know where it's gone.
Wow.
And we have maybe gone through the largest beer heist of all time. Did you purposely steal PBR, or was it an accidental beer heist?
I think
and then
somebody
you're like,
just
damn
hijacked
it, we got PBR?
A truck and I don't
when
know.
Was the last time you had a PBR?
College.
Been that long?
Yeah. Why would you purposely choose
trying
that?
To think. I think I've been at a dive bar and probably had one at one point.
No, you should go Ranye.
Yeah, everybody's got their go-to.
You go to like a real divey bar, I'll get to Ranye.
Probably high school.
Is PBR still like a cult classic thing? Do people still ironically drink a lot of PBR?
I think there are, but I think the fad level
died down
of
a little
it
bit.
Died down a little bit.
If you were going to steal 40,000 pounds of a beer, what beer would you want to steal?
I mean, you want the high-end beer, but Guinness. Here's the question. If you find out mid-stolen truck that it's PBR, do you just stop, park, and run away?
Yeah, because what's the resale value? Right.
What is the resale value? I wouldn't even know how how would you offload that? Facebook market?
I'm imagining it's kegs because they're saying the equivalent of that many cans. So I imagine you're stealing kegs.
Yes.
If I stole that truck and you're trying to get away with a beer heist and then you realize what it is, I'd probably pull over and just jump out.
Stealing that beer of all the beers to steal would be D-U-M-B. To bring it back.
Mm-hmm. See what you did there,
bud. Absolutely dumb.
See what you did there. One more here.
Roller. No, thank you.
Oh, yeah, this one's mine. I had to remember. I had a lot of prompts.
Did Swag have any?
Did you put anything in? Oh, Swag had nothing.
You didn't participate at all?
Nothing in there today?
Nothing happening in your life?
Nothing going on?
No, what's happening in my life is getting ready for opening weekend of football here on The Fan, and that's pretty much all I've been doing when I go home.
I'm not a big roller coaster guy. You know that about me. I have a stance about taking my family to Disney that I'm sure to lose the argument on at some point, but I'll hold out as long as I possibly can and die on that beach if I need to.
You'll have a great time.
How about this? Have you guys ever been to Six Flags?
I have not been to Six Flags.
I've been to it's a weird one. I think it's technically Six Flags, but it's at SeaWorld in San Antonio.
Okay.
So, yes.
This one,
but it's not like a big, giant Six Flags like the other Six Flags parks around the country.
It's a boutique Six Flags.
It's a weird morphed thing, Six Flags and SeaWorld in San Antonio, but I've been to that one.
I now need to realize I need to pull up a different link because CNN's somehow behind a paywall, so I can't find all the details of the story. That's helpful.
CNN.com.
What are we doing, CNN? There is a roller coaster at Six Flags that has now been shut down because investigators have found it is causing traumatic brain injuries. Across multiple riders. So it is in California, Six Flags Magic Mountain in California.
Uh-huh.
Two women suffered severe brain injuries within days of riding the attraction.
So it's pulling too many G's?
It's known for its extreme speed, rotating seats, and violent twists. Hmm. And it's become the focus of scrutiny as investigators examine whether the ride's intense acceleration and deceleration are contributing to traumatic brain injuries. Evidently, there's been complaints about this over many years. They never really took them seriously. And then they had two in the span of a week, and they were like, yeah, we got to shut this down. One major concern is a subdural hematoma, which is a life-threatening situation that comes from bleeding inside the brain and blood vessels. And so they are now shutting this down, and it might be known as the most dangerous roller coaster on the planet.
This probably makes more people want to do it, doesn't it?
Does it go the other way for people?
Yeah, because you go, I've been on every roller coaster. I've never had a problem. These people just had a weird reaction. I want to do this more.
It's known as the X2 coaster. I did see, we have a P1 Daniel I follow on Instagram, and he saw this news and he posted that he's been on this ride like 10 times.
Really?
And he said it is, maybe not 10, maybe I'm exaggerating, but he basically said he was terrified coming off of it. And he felt like he had a concussion when he rode it.
So is this one of those, like some of these roller coasters, you can rotate the whole way through
the
track?
So I think you're hanging, it's holding on to like your upper body.
Yes, your legs are dangling.
And then you're spinning the entire time. And then it's going fast on top of it.
I can't spin. The one in San Antonio, your legs are dangling.
Yeah.
That was fun, but we didn't rotate. We just stayed firmly
in
place.
Right, so you're just kind of going up and down. You're going fast, no doubt.
I can do that. Yeah. I can't do the whole, like the octopus at Oaks Park makes me throw up every time. It's the up down with the spinning is I'm out.
Yeah. There was somebody who I guess did actually die in 2022. They suffered a fatal brain injury following a ride.
You should maybe not have this ride exist.
They filed a subsequently wrongful death lawsuit against Six Flags. They denied the allegations. It's been scheduled for trial for September
of
2026.
This looks terrifying.
Right?
I wouldn't know. My daughter's a ride enthusiast. She would probably want to get in line.
Like, no, you're not doing
that. And I would say, the hell you will. This is the only one I will not allow you to do.
That ain't happening. So stay away from that roller coaster.
All right.
There you go. That is it for the Magic App. Let's get to the final stop on the dirty pool. Who could it be? Anybody's guess?
The final stop.
Or the second to final stop. That's
right.
Tomorrow.
You're not even caring about number one because you think number two is so good.
I walked right
in. You really just set
it
up for yourself.
I walked right into that one, didn't I?
Wow.
Number two on the dirty pole. Could be anybody. We'll do the interview next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. Hope your Thursdays are off to a great start. We got a couple of games to preview in the final segment of the show today. A fun little game down in Atlanta, dare I say, Colorado.
Prime time
against Georgia Tech. If I remember correctly, I think the game was pretty competitive last year, or maybe it was 2 years ago that they played, but I remember there being a fun game that kind of came down to the wire. It was a good home and home. It's not a neutral site game. It's not at the Falcon Stadium. It's at Bob Dowd Stadium down in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So Georgia Tech, Colorado, that game is tonight, and we'll preview that one. Starts at 5 o'clock. Also, some funny comments from the new head coach at Utah about their opponent as they are on TV tonight. So all that still to come in the final segment of the show. But the Dirty Poll will wrap up tomorrow with the number one team in the country. We get to number two today.
Who really is number one, because you just said we wrap it up today, so you don't even care about tomorrow's.
I mean, football's back. It feels like it's already Friday. What are we doing here? My backside are falling off. The number two team in the Dirty Poll is...
We spend to win.
Oh.
Winning football.
Won the national championship last year.
We got them, boys.
Wow. Nobody cares about last year, okay? Oh. Last year is under the bridge, okay? We buried it. It's dead.
Did you bury it? You said you're going into the year thinking about it all the season.
Buried it. I never think about getting blown out in the playoffs. Never happens. Number two on the big board in the Dirty Poll this year is the Oregon Ducks. They started their season Saturday. I'll be down there. And the man that we're going to bring on to talk about that game, Swag's giving me a hand up, so I don't know what that means.
Looks like they're having doesn't have him.
Looks like a conversation is taking place in there. Yeah. So maybe we called the wrong phone number and we're just having a conversation. Or he's spending the time talking his ear off about high school football. When we do get him on, we'll be Anthony Newman, who also is going to make his debut tomorrow night. I thought it'd be kind of fun to pub him because he's making his debut as the head coach at West Lynn. First time promoted from defense coordinator. So really cool from a local guy. And
he's on an instant hot seat. West Lynn does not play. You better win state.
Championship or bust.
Championship or bust for one Anthony Q. Newman.
Oregon and West Lynn have that in common at the college level and the high school level. Anything short of that seems like a bit of a disappointment. It looks like, do you need his phone number, Swigart, as we on air produce this? Did you not have the right phone number? Can you? Okay. All right. That does not help. Do you want me to text you his phone number? Okay. Why don't you, all right, this is horrible on air, producing, can you text me the station phone number? He said, if my phone doesn't ring, let me know, I'll call the station. My phone is tripping sometimes. That's what Anthony just texted me. Can you, I don't know what our station phone number is.
I'll tell you right now, Kawhi Leonard, overrated player.
We're just off to a rip-roaring start here. No, don't worry, I got it, we'll be all right. Nothing to see here.
How did he not get suspended?
Because you got to go through the Players Association to do it.
Come on. 10 games? He's fighting 10 games?
$700,000 is not a lot of money.
Especially if he can say, I'll pay you through my game checks.
Yes.
I need that right now. $700K out of your bank account.
Immediately. Like, yes. Withdraw it from your debit account.
Yes. Right now. Use your credit card. You know yes. The max. You know, you get a black card.
You get some points out of that.
Do whatever you want with that thing. It's just, look, you can punish the Clippers all you want. Kawhi Leonard got off absolutely easy in this. His uncle had already been fired by him.
Yeah, he already moved on.
So he's banning him does nothing.
We knew that would happen.
And $700K is nothing to a guy that's made over $250 million in career earnings.
It's a drop in the bucket.
It's a little ridiculous, and I hope this actually impacts his legacy for people. I really do.
It should. I think the entire legacy in L.A. should, but I digress. I think we got him on the horn now. Swag, give me a thumbs up on that. Yes. All right, we got him, baby. The head coach at West Lynn.
His phone be tripping sometimes.
It happens sometimes. He's going to preview the number two Oregon Ducks. He'll be here on the airwaves Saturday with me and Dusty down at Autzen Stadium. Can't wait to get back down there. Before we get to the Ducks, Anthony, we got to give, like, dude, how about round of applause? Long overdue, man. You've been grinding for a long time as a coordinator. What do you, like, you got one more sleep until game one as head coach at West Lynn. What are the emotions right now?
And it's crazy. It's against Central Catholic, my old school. Yeah. I mean, in the school that beat us last year in the semifinals. So it's called a UFB, unfinished business. We got to take care of business Friday night, and we're excited about it. But I'm having a blast. I need to hire a general manager. So I don't know if somebody's looking for a job, I'm trying to be the head coach, the D coordinator, and the general manager. I can't do all of it.
High school is crazy now because you actually have schools recruiting your own talent against you, and you're like, what is happening here? I thought this was only college and the professionals.
Yeah, I was texting Anthony. We were trying to do something in the summer, coordinate something I can't remember, and he was like, man, I'm grinding a youth camp right now, like 4 days a week, dude. If you need me on Friday, I'll do something on Friday. I'm like, don't you got somebody to run your youth camp? Come on. We need some helping hands over there at West Lynn. Come on.
Hey, I'm doing everything, but you know what? I love it. I wouldn't do anything else. So I'm good. I'm everything's all good.
I would have more said, "Where's JJ Burden, man? I went to that camp. You had plenty of help.
That's a
What's
great
going
point,
on
dude.
Here?
What's JJ doing?
What's JJ's lazy ass doing? You're out here grinding camps and running a program.
JJ's not having anything to do with Wes Lynn.
JJ left for Arizona, but he left me in there. He's been in Arizona, you know, taking up that heat. So I'm by myself.
Yeah,
I love it, man. Hey, well, we're gonna kick off on Saturday down at Autzen. I can't wait to get down there, get the pregame show going. It's the old cliche. Is this the most talented team that Oregon has ever compiled in terms of on paper, on a roster going into a season? Is this the most talented team we've ever seen in Eugene, Oregon?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and I'm excited about that. But as a guy who played the game and knows how football works, man, that's kind of scary because. Meaning, you have to play the game. You know, it's all about playing the game. I mean, did anybody think that Indiana had the best roster in college football last year, and they ran the table? No. So you still got to go out there and perform. Now, when you play the Ducks, you're going to have your hands full because there's a lot of dudes on that team, and the great coaching staff. So if you go out there and mess up and beat yourself, then you're going to get whipped. So you have to go out there and play almost a perfect game against Oregon. But at the same time, Oregon has to, you know, it's not about the opponent with Oregon. It's about themselves. Just don't beat yourself. Just take care of business because you got all the talent. You have maybe 20 guys that's going to play in the NFL in the next 2 years. So you have talent. You have talent. Like the Georgia's team back in the day or Alabama. I mean, they had Georgia had 7 guys go in the first 2 rounds a couple of years ago in the draft. I mean, how do you beat teams like that? It's hard.
Yeah. You can say it's a coincidence, which certainly would be an explanation. I'm curious your thoughts of just time has gone on since the last 2 games to end their past 2 seasons and in the way that they have lost, not just that they lost, but the way that they've lost. How do you put into words what we've seen with Oregon against Indiana and Ohio State the last 2 years?
That's been rough. It really has. I mean, you know, we always talk about, as coaches, and as I was a player, coaches talking to us, they say finish the game, finish the practice, finish the play, finish the season. So, you know, you do all this great stuff during the season, but the last game, you just kind of fall apart. It's hard as a player and it's hard as a coach. I think that, you know, the players, they're flustered, but I think the coaches take it harder than anybody else because they know they're so close, but they didn't finish the season. And that's what you preach to your kids all the time. We have to finish strong. Yeah, we can start out fast, or sometimes we may start out slow, but you have to finish strong. And Oregon has failed. Well, they haven't won a championship. Yeah. So they failed numerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the idea of promoting from within from coordinator has been a topic that's got a lot of attention. Obviously, Stein and LaPoy moving on last year, and we knew that was happening as the playoffs were wrapping up. And Dan decides to stay in-house, Maringer staying as the OC, and Hampton as the DC. I mean, you're in the process of this, right? You're a DC at West Lynn, head coach stepping down. All right, we're going to keep it in-house, keep that continuity going. I guess from a benefit standpoint, what are they of promoting from within and not going outside, and how – a lot of people have done the fear-mongering of have they made the right hire at those two positions, but what is the positive of it from your angle, from a coach or from a player perspective?
Well, kids understand the coaches because they've already been there, and the coaches understand the kids. The coaches know what they have. The kids know how these coaches coach. So there's nothing new. Anytime you have a change, that scares kids. It's like, oh, we're changing this. Oh, what? Wait, what? What are we changing? Why? What's going on here? So you don't want change. And I did it with my program. I didn't change anything. Everybody's still here. The only guy who left was our head coach, John Eagle, my offensive coordinator, who was calling the plays last year with John Eagle. He's still calling the plays. So the kids are comfortable with him. And Oregon did the same thing. And I think that was smart. And you know, these guys, it's a group that comes together to calls offense and defensive plays. There really is. Yes, you have an offensive coordinator. He has a mind, you know, ready to call plays for each game. Mm-hmm. But during the week, And at the beginning of the week, the coaching staff comes together and they talk about, okay, this is how we're going to beat this team. These are the plays that we can call. So they do it together. And yes, on Saturday, one guy's calling that play, but it's a team effort. And Oregon staff, they all have been there for a long time. So now these kids have a place where they're comfortable and they know how to play hard and they know what's coming. And I think that's a positive.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk, and it comes from inside as well of you know, championship or bust. I'm curious who's under more pressure, Ooh. Dan Lanning or Anthony Newman?
Ooh.
wait. No. I just started this business.
Hey, coach, a game yet, man? Come on, now.
We got standards here, coach. Yeah. Wes Lynn's been a state title winner.
Hey, I'm not going to come on with you guys anymore.
Whoa, we're put him on the hot seat, all right? Dude, come on, man. Let him coach a game before we put him on the hot seat.
It's the only Oregon State rivalry I can have in my life right now.
Yeah, that's true. Those don't really exist. We're not getting the game this year.
Hey, that's a good one. But you know what? Hey, listen, there's still a lot of pressure on Dan Lanning because he has the NFL roster on his team. So everybody – and I hate those expectations, you know, because everybody's going to put that on him. And, yes, there's pressure. There's no doubt. But, you know, Kirby Smart says it all the time. If you have a bunch of dudes that can play the game and make the coach's job easier – and Oregon is loaded this year, guys. They're loaded with dudes that can play all over the place. So I'm excited to see them play and put it together as a team because you still got to win as a team.
Yeah, it's a long journey, too. It'll all start on Saturday. Last one for you, buddy. I know we'll have a lot more on this before the game. Just throw it at you. Like, what? Give me a player or position group you're most excited to see in the debut game on Saturday.
Oh, geez. Everybody knows that the defensive line. Yeah. The defensive line, talk about, they're all seniors. Everybody decided to come back. They, you know, hey, let's get a championship. Let's win a national championship. So that defensive line is nasty. And I want to know, like, you know, from an offensive standpoint, how do you attack that defensive line? Do you try to get outside? Do you try to run inside zone? Do you throw the ball? Is it max protect? Does it affect your offense? Do you have to change everything that you want to do? And when you start changing things on offense, then it's a problem because it's not what you want to do, but it's what you have to do because the defensive line is out there and they're going to help everybody else on that field. They're going to help the linebackers. They're going to help the DBs. I'm excited to watch them work.
Yeah, Anthony Newman is his name, the OG number 8. You'll hear him on Saturday on the pregame show, and now the head coach at West Lynn. Best of luck tomorrow night, coach. Go get that redemption. We'll see you down at Autzen on Saturday, and thanks for the time this morning, man.
Hey, guys, thank you. I cannot wait for Saturday.
There you go. Anthony Newman, the head coach at West Lynn, Duck pregame show, OG number 8. Always fun talking to him. Who's under more pressure, Anthony Newman or Dan? That was a solid
He probably
question.
Thought I was going Sark or something.
He did, yeah. Where are we going? What? Wait. Oh, I'm in that conversation. Number 2 in the preseason dirty poll.
Winning football.
Nobody's
winning
giving
football.
You a chance.
Nobody's picking
you
us to win.
You didn't even want to tease that we had a number 1 tomorrow because you said this was our last stop.
What's the point, baby? This is the year.
This is the year. This is where I'm shocked. You've been slow playing it quietly, saying no one's giving us a chance. You're going to morph in.
Oh, I know it'll happen. Wait, if they win big on Saturday, just wait. I'll rip that Hulk Hogan t-shirt off. He'll come out on Monday. Don't you worry about it.
Hey, you get a 49-3 win?
Yo, dude, you get 49-3 win on Saturday? You see me coming in? Actually, it'd be Tuesday, not Monday. We don't have a show on Monday, Labor Day. Let's wrap it up. College football week 1 kicks off tonight. What to watch for? And kind of under the radar. Fun little game. We'll close it up there next on The Fan. All right, a couple of housekeeping notes before we close up a little week 1 Thursday night preview.
By the way, poll question up, Shaquai Leonard's legacy, his career legacy, take a hit, according to you, given the Clipper scandal, yes or no?
I think it's taken a hit the entire time. That guy accomplished nothing on his own. San Antonio was already established when he got there. He only won the title in Toronto because everybody on Golden State's team got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was sent to L.A. to be his own guy with Paul George, what have they done?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I think their one conference final.
It was the bubble, was it not?
No, they blew a 3-1 lead against the Nuggets in the bubble.
That's
Remember
right,
he
in the
hit the side
round.
Of the backboard. I think their one conference final run came when Kawhi was hurt.
I think it was
a Paul George. It was Phoenix.
I'd have to go look. Yeah.
I think they played Phoenix in the conference finals.
And Paul George kind of carried
Paul George was actually balling out.
That's a great point. I totally forgot about that. So I would say it already took a hurt, but yes, or took a hit, I should say. A couple of bits of housekeeping. One, it is college football season. It is Thursdays. For those wondering, Dan Lanning will be on primetime today at 4 o'clock.
There we go.
The Danimal will be on at 4 o'clock. And we keep getting questions about this and those who missed the open of the show.
Yep.
About Josh Pate on a weekly basis. We are in contact with him. It will not be a weekly one this year. He's just got too much going on.
He's not going to be able to swing that.
It's okay. And I totally understand it. But he said we haven't nailed down exactly what the timeline will look like, but a check-in every couple of weeks is kind of what we're looking at, starting hopefully next week for college football after a week one reaction going into a massive week two. So there's an update. I know a lot of people have wondered on the Josh Pate front. Will he be back on the show?
We'll reach out. I'll try to coordinate with him before he gets going. His debut show tomorrow on ESPN live from LSU. Try to figure that out, give you guys more of a timeline on it. I believe Jamarcus Shepherd will also be very similar. It'll be very periodic. It will not be a weekly, but it might be a once every 2 weeks, once every three.
Yeah.
Figure that out.
It's kind of better than that way to do it with coaches anyways, because sometimes there's not a ton to break down. So it just kind of let it build up for a couple weeks. All right, where you at? Let's check
back
in.
Plus we got something to react to and talk about.
Exactly. So if those who missed it earlier, we did have Jamarcus Shepherd on the show. He was awesome. It was a 20-minute interview. He was great. He talked about how he doesn't eat before games because he doesn't want to lose his hunger during the course of the football game, which is one of the funniest football things I've ever heard said, and it made me love him. And so you can go catch that 1051thefan.com. Peekaboo to tonight's games. Morgan Scalley is making his debut at Utah as the head coach.
Yes.
His press conference yesterday, I got to give him credit. It was pretty funny. So they're playing Idaho tonight, which, whatever, they're a 36.5-point favorite.
6 o'clock on the U.
On the ESPN U. Utah lost to Idaho in 1993. And he opened his press conference saying, what are you talking about? This isn't a big game. This is a revenge game.
And
he went on this rant about how they beat Utah in 1993. And he got this like tongue-in-cheek smile. And I was like, that's pretty good.
33 years ago, we're going to get revenge.
All right, I appreciate that. So that one's on tonight. Illinois UAB, if you're into that kind of thing, that's at 6 on the Big Ten Network.
There's one game.
There is one game worth watching tonight, and that is Colorado versus Georgia Tech. Fun trivia question. Who's the starting quarterback at Georgia Tech?
You're going to tell me it's a Colorado kid.
I'm not going to tell you it's Colorado kid.
No, it's Mendoza's little brother, isn't it?
It is little Mendoza. Little Mendoza.
I thought for a second you were telling me Haynes King got the...
the exemption to come
the
back.
The exemption from a judge.
Did he get cut at a training camp or preseason?
From the Panthers?
He had a moment for the Hall of Fame game.
Not.
Did he make the team?
No, they might have been on the practice squad.
Yeah.
No, he made it.
No, he made
good,
it.
Dude.
Well, he made the initial.
Yeah, okay. Alberto Mendoza is the starting quarterback at Georgia Tech. And it's interesting. I saw an interview from Cignetti from a couple of weeks ago, and somebody was asking him how the portal kind of, like, how many guys did you hold on to that you wanted to hold on to? And he's a pretty bluntly honest guy in every interview he does. It's one of the main things we love about Kurt Cignetti. And he said, no, we kept everybody that we wanted to except for one. Hmm. We desperately tried to keep Alberto Mendoza, and he still ended up transferring because I think they didn't guarantee him
a
pathway to start
and
the Hoover stuff. Yeah. And so he wasn't going to stick around. He thought he was ready to play, but he said we desperately tried to keep him in town, and he's making his starting debut tonight for Georgia Tech. So if you're looking for another angle of that game, that could be one tonight. They're a 6.5-point favorite at home, and Deion's going on the road. And at Pivotal, is this year four for Deion?
Year four.
Year four for Deion
Sanders.
4-8,
9-3, 4-8.
Yeah. Did we get a bowl game out of Colorado this year?
I don't know. I'm going to go Conley here and say they have the talent. Yes.
Okay.
Also, I'm not trying to give him a pass. It's not been amazing.
6 wins.
He was dealing with cancer last year, man.
He was. Yeah. Like, at the start of the year, that was a huge deal.
6 wins. Yeah, I say they can win 6 games.
Okay. Georgia Tech might end up being a bit of a sleeper in the ACC. Brent Key's been doing it for they've been
competitive.
Mendoza's
the real deal, man. I trust Brent Key.
They're loaded at running back.
Run the ball.
Justice Haynes is back again for another year for them at running back, so... excited to watch that one tonight. That's at 5 o'clock on ESPN. We'll get some more games going into a football Friday tomorrow, and we'll do a final weekend preview for everything going on. The Dirty Poll will wrap up tomorrow at 7:30, the number one team in the country. And then I'll tweet it out in case anybody missed it, and you can go check all those links and interviews that we've done over the last 2 weeks getting ready for college football. Thank you so much for being a part of our Thursday, everybody. That will do it for us. The firm of Harrison Meringue is next. You are listening to 105.1 FM, The Fan.